You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 524. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me back home in Las Vegas. Yes, the MMA world is taking over the state of Florida with both the PFL and UFC in Florida this week. PFL, of course, in Orlando, the UFC in Miami. But we're chilling in Sin City, where we're getting a little taste of summer, just a little dabble, because I think it's supposed to be like 75 degrees next week. But right now, it's about 90 degrees outside. We're just getting a little taste of that summer that you know is coming.
I know. It is coming. It was just making me think. I was like, should I shut the back door? Oh, it is still open. I open up the doors as soon as you can in the morning. The doors and windows.
Fresh air.
But it starts coming on pretty quick. It starts coming on pretty quick.
So,
it's great. It's beautiful right now. It's still perfect time. I just had some friends that were in town, and they were just like, the weather is the best. I was like, bro, that's why we live here.
That's why we live here.
That's why we live here.
So everybody always looks forward to the local Las Vegas update on weather, of course.
Yes.
Now, let me provide some surface street construction updates as well, because the Blue Diamond to Jones intersection being open, I made it over here in like 4 minutes, man.
It's so nice.
So nice.
For those that follow my random construction updates of random update
years.
Things, there were
years.
Some stuff yeah, that I would post from my walk.
Before it was the Apex. Yeah. Before it was the Apex update, it was the Jones overpass. The Jones connector. It's funny. It is like a whole section over there that I didn't even know existed. It's really weird. Obviously, this is had nothing to do with MMA, but if you've ever been to Las Vegas and you live in our neighborhood, and that Blue Diamond Jones area was weird because it just cut off. There was like a big bridge.
Yep.
There was like a whole section you couldn't get to of a very bustling little area.
Yep.
And now it's all finally connected. But it's got a nice little view. If you're going east on Blue Diamond and you turn left, which would be to go north on Jones,
yep.
You're kind of on a little elevated platform.
See, I haven't went over there that side yet.
And you get a nice little view of the strip off
Maybe
in the
I'll
distance.
Save that for this weekend. Should I get all dressed up? Take myself out to dinner beforehand?
Oh, man. This is our life. So there is your weather and surface street construction updates. And yes, in fact, you have to go over there and post one final update, right? It's like closure to the story.
Yes.
I mean, for those that were intently following your social media for years and saying, man, here's the walk. What is the status of the connector? You've got to close the story.
There's a story
arc that is just waiting to
it's
be
just
closed
waiting.
Out.
It's just waiting. I got to do it before the heat comes on too,
because
I did. My alarm went off at 6 today, and I was like, why was I setting this for 6 all this time? Because I would go do those morning walks, and I'm long overdue to go take that walk, because like you said, I need the closure, I need the steps, that's for damn sure. And it's neat because with that connection being open, getting onto the south side is so much easier. Mm-hmm. I mean, that normally was like an extra 5 to 10 minutes onto your drive trying to go through the cross streets.
South side's where it's at.
But, it's good. But, yeah, I will go down there. For the two of you that are following those intent updates, I will give you that closure. I did give finally that dirt update on the Apex recently, the front facade thing.
Yeah.
It's looking pretty
nice.
Impressive, man. Like, just that little like the over top awning thing, whatever that even supposed to do. Maybe it's going to hold lights or something, but it's coming, man. Like, for some reason, they keep pushing us out of there to go to the palace while they're doing these major things. So it'd be interesting to see when it's finally done. I know everybody's wondering how many bathrooms. Well, maybe I'm the only one that's asking how many bathrooms.
Well, I will say, I mean, this is
when it comes down to the crux of why they need to expand for the event, everybody says more people. You have to have.
They don't have enough bathrooms. It's a silly thing, but like when I'm leaving the Apex, if I'm not staying for the post-fight press conference, which sometimes I don't.
No comment.
And I'm like, I need to go to the bathroom real quick before I drive home. There's like a line of like 10 people because they're like, they have to.
It's a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal. They probably have already been out of compliance for a long time on that because technically there are bathrooms in other portions. Yeah. But they're not accessible for the guests.
I'm anxious to see. So it's funny. This past week, I was on the Anakin Florian podcast earlier this week. They celebrated their 10-year anniversary in the same way that we had. Yes. They actually started 1 week after we did. So it's like literally 7 days apart between the two podcasts. I was joking. I'm like, yeah, me and Cole Coffey, we were like the new kids on the MMA landscape. You just came in and snatched up of our energy.
No, guys, that was great. glad you thought about it, but we're just gonna do this.
We have trumped you. No, I told him, and it's true, man. I'm still. Well, first of all, I had totally forgotten. I was on their very first episode. So that's the reason they had me back for 10 years.
That's awesome.
Episode number one, which I had totally forgotten about. But I still listen every week to this time. I think they do a phenomenal job. Obviously, theirs is professional and buttoned up and an actual thriving business, whereas, you know, me and you just sitting around having a few frosty beverages and talking. But they do a great job. So
I bet we could take them, though. What do you think?
We set them in our size. Hey, we gave you the first 10. Second 10's ours, baby.
Well, I just meant like in the fight.
I mean, we could definitely beat up Anik. Like,
Kenny will fuck us up.
But yeah, that'd be a bad one.
Kenny, do you remember how to fight? Oh, wait. You do.
Yes.
Never mind.
Yes, I do.
I'm tapping.
But it's funny. So one of the things that we talked about while I was on there was they were asking about the Apex. And, you know, it seems to be a continued point of discussion and what my feelings are on the Apex. And I started out with the caveat that I always do when it comes to me and you is that I think we look at it through a much different lens because it's 10 minutes or less for you from our house. You know what I mean? So that makes things – that's definitely going to skew the way we feel about it, right?
Yeah.
But I'm actually anxious to see – what people's opinion – well, first of all, we got to see how the execution of this whole remodel goes, right? But I am anxious to see if maybe that will change people's opinions or if they'll just be negative no matter what. But I am anxious to see not only just the construction of how it goes, but what it means to what fans are able to be in there, right? You know what I mean? Because now you just have, you know, invited guests on one side and then you have the people that paid $1,200 on the other side. Yep. And by the way, like – I mean, I wouldn't say they get their money's worth, but I mean, they definitely get an open bar. And lately, man, I've been looking over there. They've got like carving off prime rib and they got like crab legs. And I mean, it looks like a fancy setup over there, you know?
And the difference between an invited guest, like a Dana guest, as opposed to a family guest or a fighter guest and the people that do, they do shut. And this is what they got some grief about this. You do see the revolving chairs of people coming and going. So there's chairs inside the door as you work your way through. So say if your fighter hasn't fought yet and you're on his list, you might be asked when you first get there to sit in one of these chairs. And then you move through the process. You know, you'll sit at one set of chairs, and as the people that are further down on another set of chairs get siphoned into the venue, you play musical chairs and you kind of move down closer. And then after the fight – granted, if you're the last fight of the night, you know, you obviously could stay in your chair because nobody else is going to go. But other ones, they do actually – I mean, granted, most people want to leave with their fighter anyways, 100%. You know, because the fighters don't stick around and 100%. Watch it, either going to medicals or other things. So the families usually would leave anyways. But if they did want to stay, they don't have that option.
Yep.
Most of them are filtered out so that the new – the next coming guests of the fighters can take those seats. Whereas if you were an actual – buyer of a seat or an actual guest from Zuffa, your seat, you stay there all night long.
Stay there the whole time,
exactly. Different little area.
I just want to see if they're able to get like some, I don't know, it's probably still going to be a fairly expensive ticket because there's not a ton of seats, right? But, you know, can they have like some $150 or $200 seats or something like that where the average fan can come in and they can, you know, they can enjoy themselves and they can, because like I said, I think number one, if you're a Zuffa guest, you're probably not going to be a wild and rambunctious type of person, right? Because you're probably associated with the company, or you're a customer, or a partner, you know, something like that. So you're not going to be
or
wild.
Or a media member's family.
Something like that could happen. You know, so you're not going to be wild. You're not going to be crazy, right? But if you're on the other side and you've paid $1,200, I'm sure you're carrying yourself with a little bit of, you know,
yeah.
If you've got that kind of money to spend, you're probably not like a crazy just, you know, double fisting, you know, PBRs and
they think they're too cool to double fist.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So
I don't double fist my Courvoisier. I only one hand Courvoisier, the other hand
100%
my pimp hand ready to smack my bitch.
That's an old ladies man throwback, dude. That was a great character. That was an Unliving Color, I believe it was.
Someone
that was great, man. But yeah, so I'm excited if they can get some more quote unquote normal fans. Because
I just wonder.
It can get loud in there.
It can.
It's just people are kind of. I think there's a reason why people are the way they are.
Yeah, I just wonder. You know, to not make people that maybe in the past, unless that's their way of saying like, well, hey, you were in the door early. I almost feel like they don't want to reduce the price too much because people have been paying this exorbitant amount for some of these seats anyways. All of a sudden, that $1,000 seat can't become $500
seat. We were hosing you for a while.
Yeah. So I think maybe they will have some access to, you know, slightly cheaper, but I don't imagine that you're ever going to find something that's going to be equal to like a nosebleed at like T-Mobile.
Right.
But you will get, I would think, better value. But at the end of the day, when the UFC sees this and the UFC is doing this, they're not just doing it for UFC events. And that's what I think a lot of people are looking at. They think, oh, this is only expansion so they can make the UFC fights better. It's not.
That's true.
This is literally, they want the, and they've always said it, and they haven't been shy about it. Mm. They wanted this to be an entertainment venue that multiple parties could use, whether it be the skateboarding thing, whether it be music shows, whether it be, you know, skateboard and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, they want people that aren't under the Endeavor.
Zuffa brand or the Endeavor TKO.
Yeah, they want people that aren't under that banner to come use it. In fact, I remember, and I'm assuming they filled the position, but at one point I know they were hiring for somebody to be like
the sales like or whatever, or like something that would.
Well, it was like a general manager or I can't remember what the position was titled, but basically it was like you were in charge of the Apex, but it listed on that as one of the responsibilities is like
selling
you need
it
to
out.
Go out and, you know, get customers to come in here and use this facility.
And I assume that job will be easier once they see that, okay, they don't have these huge looming questions over where are people going to go to the restroom, where can they eat, are there going to be food? If they get that all sorted, it's going to be used a lot. I mean, people might get their best wish. If it becomes such a agile production venue that multiple things can come in and keep it so busy, I guarantee the UFC might be like, well, cool, we always have to stay on the road because it's always in use.
Yeah.
That's the best way. People want to think about it. If you want the UFC on the road, sell it for them. Tell every company that you know to rent out the Apex so that they can't use it for the local shows. I mean, it'll get there. But, yeah, I mean – The expansion is not just for the UFC. I mean, it's going to make the UFC experience better, but at the end of the day, it's a revenue driver for them. That's why they bought the building, and to make sure that they could still obviously put on events, but who knows? I mean, I think it's definitely going to make things better. I mean, even just the feel of that WWE night was incredible, just seeing the different seats and the more. Because it just felt like the risers rose up on each, like the corners. There was much less little space, so that would be something they had to kind of work out. But when I saw that, I was like, where are all the commissions going to be? Where are the staff? Whatever. But when I talked to one of the production guys, he said that setup was a build built with the UFC in mind. So that was already taken into account, some of the stuff. So, you know, at the end of the day, there was no media on the floor.
Right.
You know, there was one small set of grouping of tables, which would probably be the equivalent of like what the media row is now, except now you will have commission sitting in there. You will have any other random medical exec, whatever sort of stuff. That would be the spillover area just in that one little area. So maybe there would be one media row, maybe, if they decided to give it that much. They might just say, sorry, guys. There's just no floor space for it.
Yeah.
You know,
wouldn't
it
be surprised.
Is what it is.
Wouldn't
you know?
Be surprised if sooner rather than later.
And it could happen, but it was incredible feeling this the room. It felt completely different than a UFC. Granted, it was a whole different sideshow sport.
Yeah, yeah.
So that added to it because there was a whole bunch of build-up elements that were going on. But just being in the room did change the feel of the event, you know. Didn't help that poor fake fight between who's the two UFC fighters? It was Shayna Baszler and Laredo.
Was it Valerie Laredo?
Both of them did the wrestling,
was,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where they was did that, their fake, they did their fake,
that,
like,
I can't remember, is that who was that at that?
I think that's what it was. The fake, like, slap fight or whatever. Yeah, yeah. Oh, it was bad. It was bad. I don't even know if they aired it. It was so bad. It was rough. Like, you guys are real fighters. Just really go, because this fake fight is bad.
Isn't that weird? Like, if you're a real fighter, it's probably hard to fake fight because you're not used to fake fighting.
You know what I mean? I'm sure they love it because, you know, at the end of the day, they're not hurt.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, they're not actors. You know, they're not trained, stunt, active, you know, action fighters who can take it and really sell it, you know. Yep. They were trying to sell it. They were overselling it, but there were times they were just missing the whole contact, and it was just like, bro.
Man. Speaking of, you know, I think it's I believe it's officially official now. I've seen the reports. So I guess it's confirmed that Punk is headlining at Allegiant Stadium next Saturday night for WrestleMania. By the way, WrestleMania, oh my God, not only is it back-to-back nights at Allegiant Stadium, so two nights of a stadium event. They do Monday at T-Mobile Arena. There's Tuesday at the Fountain Blue. Like,
they're all around town.
Oh my gosh, so much stuff going on. But yeah, I'm not gonna lie.
Those ticket prices are ridiculous. I saw something that was estimated.
Yeah.
The low was like $1,000, $1,500. Saw something that was like $25,000.
Well, it must be like a VIP package or something.
Oh,
is like
that? Yeah. I was like, oh my God.
I'm bummed. I'm so bummed that it's Saturday night instead of Sunday, because we actually have CFFC 141 down in Tampa. So obviously I'm excited to go call CFFC, and we got a fun night and be working with Dean Thomas, which I always like working with Dean Thomas. But I wanted to see Punk at Allegiant Stadium, man. You know what I mean? It's such a good time seeing it at T-Mobile. Seeing him inside Allegiant Stadium would be pretty cool. But
I saw him on there the other day, or I saw some clip. And the only reason I saw it because it had the comedian Bert.
Bert Kreischer?
Yeah.
I haven't seen, like, you know, that popped up on my social media.
He took his shirt off, obviously doing his thing, and then he got into the ring, and they were like, something, you know, unexpected duo or whatever, tag team duo.
I saw that.
I don't know if he's going to be in the thing going forward. I thought it was just a one-night thing. I didn't really pay attention.
I actually saw that tweet in my feed this morning, but I think I was in the car, and I was at a red light, so I didn't pull it up or something. It was like, Punk's got a new tag team partner or something. It was Bert Kreischer.
It was pretty fucking – I'd give Bert credit, man, because they got into him. What they call them, choke slams?
Right.
So the guys run towards him.
Yeah.
Punk had them and sort of like was propping them up because he had just whipped on them, throws them towards Bert. Bert, as they're running to him, takes his hand and he grabs on their neck and then lifts them up and then slammed them. Did it to both dudes.
Oh,
but it was really well executed. But these dudes, obviously – when we say about wrestling, we've always said, yes, we know it's scripting, but the physicality,
I'll never call it fake.
Obviously, it was not Bert picking these dudes up, but they were literally jumping, and the way they swung their body and allowing him to manipulate it and then slam them, they hit hard because these bros jumped.
Right.
I mean, they were literally probably their bodies five to six feet up in the air, slamming down on their back.
That doesn't feel good.
Dude, and they sold it well, and like, it looked real.
Yeah, yeah.
To the point where you're like, Bert! But Bert's a strong dude. People don't know that. If you ever go watch Bert, I watched this video where I think he benched 300.
Really?
300 or something like that. He maxed it. Was with some boys or something, and they were working out. But yeah, he benched like over 300.
Wow.
Dude, Bert's legit.
Yeah,
so,
putting
so,
in the work.
But Bert did not. These were wrestlers that were selling it, but it was fucking badass. I was like, that's cool. And then seeing Punk. But yeah, Punk, his hair was longer. He was embracing more of the grays. He looked like the rugged traveler or something. But it was dope, man.
The years are rolling on,
it
man.
Was dope,
he is
man.
He is the veteran at this point, man. Yeah. I'm happy for him getting a chance to main event
and the headline
WrestleMania.
Dude.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
That's pretty damn cool. And I'm just gutted, and I'm not going to be here to watch it. But I'm happy for
you. You gonna get tickets for the fam?
I'll have. I think so. They're going to try to go. Yeah, I think they still want to go. So
yeah,
I think they want to go check it out. So man, and then I got to figure that out, because I've never been to a WrestleMania. And I don't know how many chances I'd get to go. Although I guess maybe Allegiant Stadium will maybe be in the rotation now or something. I don't know. I mean,
I don't know.
In Las Vegas, but I don't know how often they.
I don't know. That's a big one.
It's a big one.
I would think that you. I mean, so T-Mobile, I could see quite a bit, but as for Allegiant,
yeah. So I fly back on Sunday. So I was thinking about trying to go the second night, but I don't know if like my family wants to go both nights in a row. They said they will, but like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I guess it just depends on how well it sells and you know what they're able to do. But I mean, there's a huge crowd for it. I mean, I guarantee most people that listen to this watch that at some point. Mm-hmm. You know, watch a couple episodes. But it'd be interesting. But yeah, I love what they're doing. That's the same thing when we said about when the NFL comes into town and some of these organizations come to town. They spread it out throughout the community. Mm-hmm. Like, take take note, F1, you can actually go into a city and actually embrace what's there and don't destruct stuff. And you build a lot of fan-friendly stuff, and people love it. So, yeah, I mean, I was hearing about some of the other stuff that they're doing around town. Very forward-facing, very unobstructive. You know, they're going in there using what's there and making a big deal, and fans are going to get to see all kinds of things all around town. So that's cool. So, yeah, and they keep doing stuff like that. They always have a welcome back to the town, you know.
I dig it, man. Well, yeah. We're going to have to talk some USC 314 a moment, because I'm going to need your help on my cloud bet picks this week, because I'm a little torn in the main events. But first, I guess, got to talk GFL. Seems like that's what everybody is harping
good fucking
on
luck.
At the moment. Oh, is that what you went with?
No.
Yeah, it's, you know, it sucks because I do feel like everybody's kind of reveling in them falling apart or whatever, and I don't think that's the right attitude to take. Like, we need as many options and organizations in mixed martial arts as we can. So I will never sit here and just bask in the glory of this delay. Now, they're saying it's a delay. It feels awfully a lot like it might be an ultimate cancellation. I know that Darren Owen is saying, hey, I think we can go again in June. You know, we're going to push it back from here. But I don't know. It just, I feel like this is going to have so many people that were involved or committed to it, like, really going, come on, man, what's going on here?
A lot of people, like, almost stake their reputations. You have a lot of agents and managers and people that were, you know, granted, a lot of the older fighters weren't fighting for anybody.
Right.
But still, you know, you had people that worked, you know, worked deals, got them believing that it was real, you know. Like, I'm not sure what assurances they got. I mean, I think everybody, most of the people involved, were hoping for something. They were hoping for something real, and maybe the assurances were made to them so that they thought, okay, let's do this. I mean, I believe there were some people that left contracts at other places to jump over, you know. So that's
hurts.
A big one. But what got me and struck me, it was like very iffy. It was like, you know, one of the things you're saying was like the benefactor, the sponsor, the one guy didn't come up with the money or didn't have it. I'm like, okay, this is all based on whether one dude, you don't even have funding that's, you know, sort of redundant and baked around in multiple parties. If
and
one guy
not,
says no,
and
it's
not
done.
Liquid and sitting in the bank already, like you were hope. So, all right, so you're spot on with that, right?
Scary.
So we don't even know who the main investor was that he's referenced, right? We've never have. Everybody in the industry had been hearing that it was Silicon Valley. It was somebody in Silicon Valley that had a lot of money.
Well, Elon recently has some of the value lost money. Maybe it was him.
Maybe so. And to Joe, but I was going to say, I mean, it is feasible given the landscape of what's going on right now, right?
Yeah.
That somebody that was going to have the money there got cold feet and was like, dude, I just lost 30%
of
my portfolio,
so
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to pull it. Now, so that is feasible.
Yeah.
I would say any business venture that doesn't already have the funding secured and locked into a bank account, like you're just operating under the assurances that you're hoping that that person is going to pay the bills when they come due, like, that's a little bit scary. So that sounds a little bit shady. Now, here's what I had heard is that, and this is one thing that I was really surprised that they wanted to go to California for, right? Because we know that Andy Foster is one of the most detail-oriented, you know, when it comes to licensing and all that. Now, he would have done a financial background because they do, you know, when you go apply, assuming they applied for their promoter's license and it was approved and all that, you have to go through a whole process. You've seen that in the Nevada State Athletic Commission meetings, right?
Yep.
We don't see the actual forms, but you know that they have a full booklet that's been reviewed, and it includes bank accounts and tax records and things like that.
Yep.
But I had heard within the past couple weeks that California had asked them to put the money for the fighter purses into escrow ahead of the event, which kudos to Andy Foster. I love it. So he wants to see, hey, you're saying you got the money. I want to see all the money in escrow in an account that's going to cover all the fighters, and you need to do that ahead of the event. What role that played in this, I don't know. But, you know, when Darren comes out and says, well, I think we're going to go in June and we probably won't go in California, it makes me think that that probably was a little bit scary. And if that is what scared them off and that's what prevented this event from happening, good on Andy Foster, man.
Yep.
You know, you haven't seen anybody pay.
We've heard of promotions where people have fought and didn't get paid.
Yes.
It's not unique. It's not something that doesn't happen. And you would hate to think that you have all these people that are agreeing to these contracts, and I'm not sure what the final wording where it says, like, yeah, you don't get paid until the event, and maybe it's written in the contracts where, you know, it, they sort of agree to a delayed paying, but it doesn't happen anywhere. Like fight night at the UFC, you get paid. I used to be in some of the rooms where, now I think the commission handles it, where this gentleman from the UFC would go in there. He had his briefcase. So right there, and they got done checked out, and they're getting all signed off, and I'm waiting to shoot an interview with them. They're signing their checks, and they're getting their checks, and they're all happy, and they have their money. And regardless, once they leave that venue, they have their money in hand and they're done. The taxes have been paid. You know, like everything's good to go. So to think that that doesn't.
I was trying to remember, is it Brad Smuckler?
Brad Smuckler. I was going to say, I didn't think it mattered to not say his name, but I just didn't. I knew what his name was.
It was bothering me because I couldn't remember. He's a super nice guy. He's
the nicest guy ever.
Incredible guy. Yeah. I think he now runs like his own like accounting firm out here in Las Vegas.
But yes, it was always
Smuckler would walk around with his briefcase to hand out the checks.
Yep.
That's so funny.
And so when they. And it's funny because people would recognize him. So when they'd see him coming, they're like, oh, I love it when you're coming in.
The money man, right
there.
The money
man. So I mean,
now by the way they wire the money, but you get like literally from what I've been told and seen, like the moment the fight is over, like bing, email hits your account, like wires.
I mean, if they want to do it that way, because I mean, that's the only thing quicker than me meeting you after you're checked out after the doctors.
Right.
I mean, that's how quickly and literally it had a breakdown of all the like. All the taxes and everything that had been run on this was you charged this, blah, blah, blah. Very, very detailed or whatever. You know, so good on them. I mean, I don't know if that's something obviously that the UFC, maybe now with them being able to wire it, maybe the UFC even does that now. Maybe they've switched to that process here in Nevada as well. But I think if anything, if every commission should, if you're going to be under your jurisdiction, I think that's a smart play to do. Because if you're not fiscally sound to pay your entertainers and your fighters, You shouldn't have anything.
100%.
I mean,
100%.
It's just ridiculous.
Kudos to Andy Foster.
How sad would the story be? They put on GFL1,
and nobody gets paid. That's not good.
After we've been building up all this time, you got everybody, I mean, I get it where people are very, you know, like I knew it was going to be fake. I knew there was something wrong. Like, bro, everybody thought that there was the potential, but we wanted to believe, and I think we wanted to hope that there was something better. And going off of everything else, when I see. You know, the people that were signing, I think that they have a lot of smart people behind them. They would do all their checks, I think. So it's a little surprising to everybody else that maybe we're finding out a little bit more, if anything, of what maybe is in these contracts that these people are signing. To me, for them to think that they can have a delayed sort of payment, you have to have that in writing, I would think. You can't just not do it because then you're in a breach of contract. So I'm assuming maybe a lot of these fighters, as part of these contract, and maybe some of them, one of them could step out and say something. Maybe you're agreeing to a bigger check knowing that there's a little bit of a time to pay it as opposed to, okay, well, we could try to pay you quicker, but for this, but due to the blah, 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 maybe the whatever way they spun it, you know, part of the revenue, you know, that we get from the fight night and the blah, 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 we can boost it up, but you got to give us an extra week to make that payment or whatever. Who knows what verbiage, but I mean, if that wasn't in the contract, and I think anybody that was agreed to sign and didn't realize that they weren't trying to pay you maybe on the fight night, get out while you can.
Yeah.
You know, if anything else, this is your signal that this organization is not as sound as you think they are.
I would definitely – and everybody's going to have to make that individual decision on their own. I would definitely think that, you know, if this is a red flag for you, that you could probably get out of your contract at this point. Or at least not even worry about them chasing after you legally.
Yeah.
Because what
– They already just missed their obligation to put on an event when they just signed. You know, they said, hey, you're signed a contract. We're going to put you on an event. Now that it's gone, like, I would think that you have a clause out, you know.
The biggest thing to me – and again, I don't want to sit here like we're dancing on the graves, because again, the more options that people have to fight, the better. You know what I mean? That way you have, there's only so many spots to go around, and at least you can be a free agent and, you know, entertain offers. So I want it to work, but it was just a little bit scary. I mean, we never heard about a TV deal. I don't know if there was a TV deal in place. Never heard about sponsorship agreements or major partners, and that's where a big source of, so your broadcasting revenue, your partnership revenue, we never heard anything like that. So then now maybe you're talking about ticket sales. I don't even know if tickets ever went on sale, to be honest,
at
that event. I don't know if it was going to be an invite-only event. It was kind of a small venue anyway. So we never heard of any revenue coming in the door whatsoever. And then the amount of money that was floated out there for these purses was insane. And it's like, why? You're not bidding against anybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, no disrespect to the Fabricio Verdums of the world, the Frank Mirs of the world, the Vanderlei Silvas of the world. They're legends. But nobody's bidding for their services right now.
Yep.
So why are you promising these massive paydays to guys that aren't competing actively? I get it. Like, if you were going to start an organization from scratch and you wanted to have a big, big footprint like they clearly did, you know, they were not trying to be a small organization. They wanted to be something big. I get if you have to overpay a little bit, right? Like, if you have to pay, for instance, a Demetrius Johnson quite a bit of money to come to one championship, or a Ben Askren before him to come to one championship, or if you have to go, you know, your bare knuckle and you're paying Mike Perry or Eddie Alvarez or whoever it is, and you have to overpay a little bit because you need to get Paige VanZant. We heard about some big checks that she was getting early on. If you have to pay one or two people like that just to get some headlines and to get some traction and to get people looking, I get it, but not everybody on the roster. The amount that they were going to have to outlay for fighter purses was like in the multi millions of dollars, and I just don't see how they were ever going to generate that revenue. So, you know, they're saying they think they got something figured out, and they're going to do June, and I hope for the best, man. I really, really do. But to be honest, I'm not incredibly optimistic that things are lined up for them, and I just hope if anybody got burned that they're looking to get out and looking for options, because especially the ones you mentioned, man, the ones that, like, ask for release for the UFC or ask for the release. I saw Camel McLaren was talking about somebody that, you know, asked out of their Combate deal. And, you know, I feel like, look, man, it started from the beginning, right? When they were advertising like these 400 signed athletes and kind of using their likeness to promote their brand, even though they were only going to go with 120 of them.
Yeah,
so it's just like,
that was already kind of shady.
Yeah. And I get it. Like, if you think about it from, and we talked about it before, and I'll say it again, if you think about it from a pure, like, How can I maximize the amount of tension I'm getting without laying money? That was a brilliant play. But as far as, like, is it cool? Like, it doesn't seem very cool to me to be like, unless you're paying, like, hey, man, can I give you, like, 5 G's or 10 G's and let me just use your likeness to promote this thing? And we'll probably never give you a contract, but maybe we will. And if you do, then you'll have a fight contract. But can I at least pay you, like, 10 grand to use your thing to promote? Then, okay, then at that point, it's cool. But to my knowledge, I don't think they did that. You know what I mean? It was just like, hey, here you go. Here's a contract. And we're going to use your, you know, likeness again to you know, advertise this thing. We might never even send you any money because you don't get paid unless you fight. So, I don't know. I it's unfortunate. And again, I'm not going to be sitting here celebrating, but it does feel like it's not going to happen.
Yeah, and I know a lot of promotions, we've already seen some more clever than others, have already kind of taken the social media to kind of bask in
it. Cage Warriors just slamming them, bro. Cage Warriors social media going off.
Straight fire.
I don't know when they flipped the switch and woke up and chose violence, but they're just firing shots.
Yeah, and I don't know if they, you know, maybe they got talked down at some point, and that's why they're taking it personal. I don't know if they lost fighters, and they're just like, ugh, how dare you poach our roster.
Because I don't, like, obviously, I mean, we used to have Cage Warriors on MMA Junkie years and years ago, like, before Fight Pass. Like, we've known those guys forever. Obviously, they have a great, great organization and a great brand. But I've never thought of their social media as being like, dude, Cage Warriors, not only are they a great organization in Europe, but they also have the snarkiest social media ever. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they've ever made that play, and I don't think they really, like, take shots at anybody else, but they've been going savage on GFL.
You know? Well, you know, now you know, they can be like, see, we knew we had a reason why we picked them as our nemesis, our arch nemesis, but... Yeah, I don't know. I hope it all works out. And if anything, it'd be great if they can get the money. I think if anything else, fighters that are choosing to stick along with them need to make sure they have their assurances made, you know, that things are secure, and just be comfortable with your decision that if you are going to stick with them, if it all goes south, are you fine with that? You know, and I guess at this point,
yeah,
maybe the only thing they've lost is just time and effort promoting it,
right?
You know, but once you start training, if you start spending money in a training camp and doing other things, we're actually expending money out, and then the fight doesn't go through and there was never going to really take place, then you're actually maybe losing something. So I imagine if it all kind of falls through, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see some legal, some civil actions being taken.
You're
spot
on. But
I don't know how
that.
Far, I don't know how far these contracts and what promises and what things they're you know, stuck to legally. You know, everybody says they've signed a contract, and with a contract, you have to give something to make that contract binding, you know, so who knows?
You're spot on with that about, like, if you compete, you got to be willing to understand that maybe you won't ever get paid for it. But I would not recommend anybody doing that.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. If you're a manager or you're a fighter and this has gone down, before if they do reschedule in June as they hope to, you have to be like, if the commission isn't asking for that money to be in escrow, you got to be asking for it to be in escrow. Like, I need to see where this is because I need assurances that it's going to be paid, like whatever that may be.
I mean, if you got a manager and your manager's taking money from your fights, your manager should be all upon this. This is what the manager's for.
Yeah.
Your manager should have your shit. You need to take care of yourself for the fight. Your manager, if you're not booking this yourself, which I guarantee a lot of these fighters did not probably use a manager.
Right.
Most of them are out of the fight game for a while, and I'm sure they just did it on a gentleman sort of like, okay, I see you signed this guy, I'm going to jump on board. I would say at this point, if you don't, make sure you got some legal counsel that you're talking with to look at these things. You
I was going to say, that's one thing I've always heard. Like, in some spaces, a manager can really help you, but there are certain stages in your career, whether it be very early or very late in your career, where you don't really need that guidance, but what you do need is at least an attorney who will review everything.
Review the contracts.
A lawyer that you trust that will review everything in there so that you know that it's on the up and up or you need to change this clause or whatever the case may be.
And, and if anything else, as silly it is, but I will just throw this out there because I've been embracing the AI world a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Take your text from your thing, put it in one of the things, and just say, are there flags in here? Prompt it. Tell her, are there things I need to be worried about? Does this make sure that I will get paid? Does this blah, blah, blah? See what fucking AI will tell you about these contracts, I mean, I will tell you, AI has gotten to the point right now where it's as quick and as smart as your greatest legal minds out there. Same with doctors. You got doctors using it for resources. So if you're looking literally for just legal knowledge, if you prompt it and give it the right information and maybe even check multiple sources, maybe you want to check, Microsoft Copilot. Maybe you want to go to OpenAI. Maybe you want to go to ChatGPT. Put the text of these things in there and just say, do you see any initial flags in here? Do you see something in here that doesn't make sense? Am I secure in this? And I tell you what, if you give it the right prompt and you ask it the right questions, like, do I need to be worried about this? Is my money financially secure? See what it spits back.
That's interesting.
If you don't have a lawyer, have a lawyer, I'm definitely not saying
to replace
a lawyer. If you have the means to get a lawyer and get a real legal thing, go that way. There are a lot of legal options.
But it can at least
options.
Educate you a little
it
bit.
It can at least educate you in the things that you're maybe not even thinking you need to be looking for. Because, all that information is getting stored and uploaded constantly, and it's just getting smarter and smarter as more and more cases get put into these libraries that these AI engines just like peruse and just ingest like in moments, and the stuff that it can spit out in seconds is just ridiculous. Now, it's not scripture when it comes out. Look at it. Have somebody possibly look at it because AI does make mistakes.
You can't trust 100% that it's right.
Yeah, it's learning, but it's a heck of a lot better than you asking me or John.
Yep.
Well, hey, Kenny, so tell me about the legal ramifications in California, if you're blah, blah, blah.
No clue, bro. Don't
know, bro. But you put in this thing. So I would say first, if you have the means, get legal counsel. You should always, in any of these business ventures, or at least talk to somebody that has the sort of education, the knowledge of it. There might be free legal resources in your area where you can have access to free lawyers or somebody that's doing pro bono that might want to look at it. And especially if you're a fighter that has a name, you might find a lawyer that thinks it's cool as shit to help you out just to say that he's helping you out that can look at it for free. But don't do this. Don't do it on your own, especially now that the flags that we've seen being raised. Because unless you're just fine with it just going south, at least just do your due diligence, especially now. I think a lot of us thought that the things that came out weren't even in question. We already thought that, this is already all sorted out. Now it just feels like, wow, they've just been smoking mirrors, a lot of smoke and mirrors right now. And it's a little worrisome because that's a lot of people that they teed up to do this thing that have been promoting it and prepping themselves, changes. They probably changed the lifestyle. If you know
fight. I saw tweets yesterday. So I heard before it went public. I heard through some back channels that hey, this is what's going on, right? Before anybody was out there reporting it. So I heard it, and then I start seeing fighters after that are posting. I'm excited for this fight coming up. Like promoting, even though I know I've already heard it third hand. So I'm not even an athlete on the roster or anybody. Or but I heard it. I already knew that it was being canceled. And I see athletes that are, to your point, promoting the brand and talking about how excited they are for the event. And I'm like, damn, it's been canceled. I guess your manager just hasn't gotten the call yet. Or your manager hasn't gotten the call to you yet. You know what I mean? It's like, or you don't have a manager.
You don't have a manager.
And since you're self-represented, they're handling everybody that has groups of athletes first, and they haven't gotten to you on the list yet. You know what I mean? So it's like, ugh. Bad situation, man.
Yeah. But I'm with you. I mean, I want it to survive. I want there to be a viable option. How about that?
Yep.
I want it to be a real legit option where these guys can make money. If they're still choosing an athletic conference commission can clear them, and they're physically and of mental sound mind that they're to go fight, and they want to be able to do it and make more money, who am I to say don't do it? You know, I'd rather they be able to do it and provide for their families.
100%.
You know, and then, you know, it sucks that if there is potentially one less, because we see how things are iffy on every organization, you know. It's not like things are all peachy at the UFC as well. I mean, they have their ups and downs as well, you know. So, sad. I mean, hopefully it works out. I don't want to just say it's a sad day. But, I mean, I guess in the sense of that one event did get canceled off is kind of a sad day, because it does put that all into question.
It does. It does. We'll see how it shakes out for them. We'll see how the PFL progresses this weekend. Again, they are on Friday night. I will say, did you get a chance to watch their first broadcast of the season?
Yes, I did.
Better, right?
I thought it was fine.
Yeah, man. I feel like they've taken away some of the unnecessary busyness and graphics and stats and stuff that we all said, bro, why do I need this? I don't need this on the screen. So it feels like less cluttered. I thought the presentation was nice.
Yeah, presentation was good. I thought the fights were good.
Fights were really good. It was a very entertaining fight.
If anything else, that's what I took away from it, is I thought the fights were good.
You know what it did make me realize, and I'll tell you, and I still say this, like, I was never somebody that hated the regular season. Like, a lot of people were like, you know what, man, this is the dumbest thing ever. I was like, I kind of liked it. I said from the beginning, the first time I saw standings where it wasn't like rankings that you could argue about, it was literally just points, you know what I mean? So here's where they stand. I was like, that's kind of cool, you know what I mean? Yep. So I still stand beside that. I didn't hate it. But what I do realize now is, going straight to the tournament, you do realize that, oh, wait, these fights have more at stake. There's more meaning to them, right? You know, because the regular season was cool, but it was like, well, you lost, but don't worry about it, man. You're still in there. As long as you win the next time, you can still get it. You know what I mean? So it kind of took away a little bit of the immediacy of what everything meant. So going straight to the tournament, it does actually make the meaning of the fights more impactful. And then, you know, I love the fact that you're right there. You're having your face-offs right away, and you know who's fighting who. And so I don't know, man. I still don't love everything they've done on the backside. You know, I mean,
it's not perfect.
They got Corey Anderson. There's still things they got to work out. But as far as just the fight product itself, I thought it looked good. Yeah. And I'll say, too, their website, you know, we talked about how kind of crappy their website was. They're changing the website a little bit. There's still some things I would fix. Their website, number one, if like the schedule thing, it's still got like the sections where you got to like go into it. Just put all the events. Like, even though there's different regions and stuff, put the whole thing on there so I can see it all. And I would say
running websites is tough sometimes. We've seen that through other organizations.
It can be a challenge sometimes.
It can be a challenge.
And then the other thing is, too, like, and I know this may be silly, but like, even when you go into the events themselves, for the fighters, put their first name in there, too. Like, I'm sorry. It just says, like, for instance, it's just like Alves. Do you know how many albums there are? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
And for somebody like me that goes to their website looking for information, if I'm trying to like fact track or spell or double check a thing, like, I go to you as the organization to provide that.
That's it.
And if you don't have it, then I'm like, oh, well, I guess I got to go to another organization. Let me go to Tapology or something. That's sometimes they spell their shit differently. I'm like, I want to go to the main company, and that's you it. Give me the name.
Because that was kind of always our thing, is whatever the organization, however they say it's spelled, that's however the way we're going
to
spell it.
Because they're the ones they're supposed to be checking.
That's right.
Even the UFC, they check, they change. So I usually go when the UFC on fight week, when they give me the bout sheet, because I know that is the most current one. They check it every time, you know, there's how they're currently spelling it. And sometimes fighters will go on this rant where, oh, I'm no longer being called this. I'm being called this. And it's like, well, come on, bro. So sometimes that has happened, because sometimes we've even had, like, and it's not just, I'm not going to throw Brazilians under the bus that they want to do their names. A lot of times I've seen Koreans and others that say, like, Chang Ho Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's Chang Ho.
Chang Ho is all together.
Yeah, it's all together.
All one word, right?
Yeah, so it's like little things like that happen, you know, so you just get used to it. But, yes, you expect the organization.
I think Alexei Oleynik's name changed like five times.
Oh, my God, it did.
The official spelling when he was in there.
Is that who we just saw get knocked out viciously?
Yeah.
That was hard to watch.
Why was he in a BK? Well, I know why he was in a BKFC. He needed the money.
He needed the money.
Come on, man. A dude that, like, his striking was always tremendously terrible. Like, it was his grappling. Now, if you were like, hey, bro, he just signed up for this grappling tournament. Hell yeah, let's see that. Yeah. Even if it was like combat jujitsu, you know, even if it was like, hey, it's jujitsu, but there's striking involved on the ground. Yeah. Okay, he's good
like
at that.
Slaps or something.
Yeah, but when he signed up for BKFC against Geronimo dos Santos, it was like, bro.
It was, I mean, it was a perfectly placed, just was it overhead and right or something. Savage. It just fucking, it was brutal, dude. It would have knocked anybody out, and it was, but it was just hard. I was like, oh, God.
That was hard
another,
to watch.
Another guy we see go over there and just gets demolished.
It's sad, too, because I think he had, like, just given an interview where he said, like, his wife took all his money and he has no money. Like, I guess they got divorced and he lost everything in the divorce. And so, like,
yeah. Now I didn't
just
hear that.
Oh, the story gets worse, bro. It just gets worse.
That's even more heartbreaking.
Yeah. Such a nice guy.
Now I feel absolutely terrible.
Well, this is a high energy MMA roadshow today, right?
I am crushed now. That sucks, dude. Women will just take your heart.
Well, they will.
And your money and everything.
Stay away from them.
They are so wonderful when they're good. Then they do that. Oh, anyway, Lexi, I'm sorry. So, you can spell your name however you want, brother. We'll give you that. You can spell it however you want. King Alexi from now on.
Oh, King Alexi, I love it. I will just say PFL, I just want to give them some props and just say I think they're doing a good job. And if maybe you're a person in the past is like, I'm done with PFL, I didn't like what I saw, I would say maybe give it another shot. They're on Friday night. Again, I think and I've said it before, I think it's beautiful that they're not doing all Saturdays and going against the UFC. That's just impossible. Yep. So to be on a different night. But if you've tuned them out in the past and said, I don't like what they're doing, maybe go check it out again because they it seems to me that they have listened to the feedback, and I think they've got a good product going on. Like I said, my only problem with PFL is, I mean, has just been these fighters that want to go. Like, just
We see one that did get let go.
Aaron Pico.
And immediately was picked up at the UFC. Yep. Huge pickup. And the other day, the other fighters were asked about him. And I always appreciate when fighters from other organizations actually do know these guys and other organizations coming over. Yep. So, you know, a lot of the fighters, well, you saw the featherweights that were there at the media day were asked what they thought about Aaron Pico coming in. They all had great things to say about it, you know.
That,
so, I mean,
that dude's
he knew that he was able to be over at the UFC doing things, and the fighters at the UFC knew it as well. So maybe we'll get that Pitbull Pico matchup at some point down the line.
He's going to be a factor, bro.
He is. He's. I think he's going to thrive, man. I mean, he's legit. And this is, I think, a lot of the UFC fighters, and we're going to see that. You know, I bring up Pitbull's name. I know Yair is like, you know, these guys ain't seen the same sort of competition. I'm like, bro, Pitbull's seen it all.
Yeah.
I did pick Yair in that one. I know we want to get to the picks, but I did lean Yair on that one, even though I would not be surprised if Pitbull does what Pitbull does and just grind it out, man. He's so tough, man. He is just – he's got power. He's just – in my mind, I mean, Yair's just the – a younger, fresher version with more tools, where I think Pitbull will have to win it on the feet. I think Yair, if he gets to the ground, I think he maybe has what it takes if he hurts him on the feet to get it done on the ground. But I could be completely wrong.
No, I'm with you on that one. It's interesting. I was kind of looking at the odds. I was curious to see where the odds were, and it is Yair Rodriguez
not
as
by
a favorite.
Much, right?
Around a minus 200 or so. Started out as like around a minus 150 when the line opened.
Okay,
got
so
bet
get,
down a little bit. Yeah. So, but I would agree with that. I think Patricio's in a tough spot, right? He's coming over kind of later in his career. I mean, he is. I'm glad he's getting the opportunity. It seems like he's really enjoying being a part of the UFC and just, you know, these huge press conferences and you know, just the machine that is the UFC. Like when you come into a fight week as a fighter for the first time in the UFC and you see all the support staff and all the production elements and all the things that no other organization has, like it just blows you away, right? And so I it's pretty cool for him, but this is a tough first assignment, but it's a good first assignment. It's stylistically, it's going to be a lot of fun. So, part of a great, UFC 314 card that I'm loving, honestly, from start to finish, man. I'm a little bummed. I'm not going to be there, but I'll be enjoying watching on TV some great fights. That Chase Hooper minus 850 and growing line
of
Jim
crazy.
Miller, that one keeps shocking me. I love Darren Elkins, Julian Arosa. That could be a hell of a fight, but you know, for our friends over at CloudBet, they like us to weigh in on the main event or the co-main event, right? They like us to have those big fights in there because, of course, you know, listen, they're partnering with us and we appreciate it, but they want to. Hey, what's going to get the most value on return? What's going to get people talking? What's going to get people? And you know, listen, we're hardcores, and I could talk to you about how intriguing Dan Ige versus Sean Woodson is.
Just looking at that.
I'm telling you, bro. There's so many fights on here that are so much fun.
That's funny. But I'm literally looking at the odds, and I was stuck on that one. I can't believe that's the one you just decided to pick up. That's a great fight.
That's a great fight. That's a really good fight. Sean Woodson against anybody is just all. I mean, yeah. that, one of the most unique body types and style. So I think
Woodson is the favorite, and I think that's the right pick as well. I mean, like, that's a good one. But, man, we've seen Dan Ige is tough as nails. But, man, Woodson, I don't think gets enough credit for how good and how powerful he is.
Uses that range.
His hands are fantastic.
Unbelievable.
I can tell when Smith's got good hands.
I don't know why I decided to make that all weird and gay, but it's been all day, and I haven't made, like, a weird reference. I think it was overdue.
You had to break the sadness. We're talking about, you know, all the sadness that we've talked about today. All right, so which way, talk to me about this main, because I'm going to tell you right now, the main and the co-main event, I'm literally like, flip a coin, I don't know. Because, all right, let's main event.
I was so set, now I'm starting to flip a little bit.
Yeah.
I went Lopez in my staff picks.
Just because the younger guy, the fresher guy.
Yeah, and I think if he gets a hold of Alex and get him down, I think his jiu-jitsu will win him out.
Really
even good. If anything, if he can just keep him down and do some ground and pound and just hold him down, that control time on top, I think, could do the difference.
Yep.
Obviously, if Alex lands a good shot, I think he can hurt him. I don't think Lopez has felt the power or something like Volk. You know, Volk gets a really good shot, but but man, Volk is Volk, man. We saw what he does and how close he had that fight against Makhachev. Then we saw when he got dropped by Makhachev. I feel always bad picking against Volkanovski. I just feel like. And because he's just such a funny guy, he goes in a fight week. You always know he's in great energy. You know he's doing the work, but I also think that Lopez is doing the work too. And I just feel like this moment, man. I just think some of these kids coming up, man, it's just their time to shine. And I feel right now, Lopez, man, this would be the most perfect time for him to get in there and get a belt. You know, when a lot of things are really moving to start doing some stuff down in Mexico and some of these other places, especially with the UFC Noche going down there. If he could get it, I think it's probably quick enough that they could turn back around. So I guarantee the UFC is like, please, maybe. Cause,
100%.
You know, because when is that? June? Or was it July? When
September. Was that? September.
Oh, even more time.
Yep. 5 months.
Literally, they want him to turn around.
Easy.
On this one. So, I mean, I think it makes sense. I mean, I think he's going to go in there. We've been saying that for a while, this kid, man, he's so slick. He's so dangerous. Now he's speaking English as well. I mean, it's not great. But, I mean,
he's
literally setting himself up to become a superstar.
Yep.
You know, I think he's already got the talent, and his talent's getting better. Now he just needs to finish that final piece. I mean, he's got the hair. He's got a unique look to him. Now he just needs to get this fight. If he gets this fight and he gets that title, I think he's got the skill set to hold on to it for a little bit.
So I'm still torn, dude. It's so tough, right? Like, you see the path for both of them. You see the probability for both of them.
Yep.
It's literally a coin flip fight, man. But I think
Volk is the favorite right now.
Volk is the favorite. So I kind of like the Lopez underdog pick, though, man. You're getting some plus money. And it feels like it's his time versus Volkanovski. But again,
it's hard to think that Volk isn't in his time either. But after just seeing, like, because there were a while there, he looked like nobody could hurt him.
Right.
Nobody could knock him down. Nobody could finish him. Nobody could just take him out. And we've seen it happen time and time again now. And it's just like, not that, you know, people always say, you know, after they get that knockout and after they get finished, like, things change a little bit, whether or not they're always going to be that tough. Well, but, you know, that your body remembers that, you know, and it's just a matter of landing on that sweet spot again.
And I did get a chance to watch all the media day, you know, a little bit of buffering in the media day streams. I heard everybody was struggling over there in Miami.
Little Cuba down there is not doing so well with the Wi-Fi.
But I love that Alex even did. He kind of addressed that, right? He was like, look, everybody's like, oh, are you going to be different? I'm like, nah, I'm not gonna be different. Like, nah, you're different. You know what I mean?
I'm sure he doesn't think he's any different.
It just impacts you a little bit, but you know, it does. It really does. So,
you know, brain trauma will do that to you.
Indeed.
You know, you can't take multiple things like that and have it not start to affect you in some particular way. I mean, you know, we see it with chins all the time. You know, people say I used to have a chin. Now they don't have a chin anymore. That's not just a made up thing that people say. Like, you watch it and you see it and it happens, you know, your brain starts remembering that trauma and then it's a little bit more susceptible to it as it goes forward. It's not like your brain just like brand spanking new every time. So that's why fighters, when you get out of the sport before all that damage weighs on and becomes really, really permanent, because it's all still coming.
Yep.
But that being said, he is as physical and as tough as anything. I mean, him on a fight week is one of the most wonderful thing to see. He's always got a great attitude.
Shredded too, man.
Oh, dude.
Said he didn't touch alcohol for like 60. Didn't touch alcohol for like 16 weeks. Didn't
see
even
how can
have
he a, say is it? How can he not say he's a different person?
Yeah. Didn't even have a cheat meal. Said didn't even have a cheat meal. Just you know, or maybe he said didn't have a cheat day. I can't remember if he said meal or day. I thought he said meal, but maybe he just said day. But bottom line, he said nutrition was better than ever.
What was the difference between a cheat meal and a cheat day? You figure if you have a cheat meal, that's a cheat day, right?
Well,
or
so,
cheat day means like he just so stops everything.
So our man Mike Dolce used to always have this. And actually, by the way, Mike Dolce, he was always say use the term reward meal. Don't say cheat meal because
you earned it.
You get a reward, so you're not cheating. That's a mental block.
Yeah, yeah.
But he would say yes. Make sure it's a meal, not a day, because for most people, it's like well. All day long, like, you know.
And you literally erase, like, gains for, like, a week or 2 weeks or something. You set yourself back. Because especially with him, like, all the food, you know, he considers a lot of those bad foods as, like, poisons. And it doesn't just leave your system after that meal. You know, you got to fight the ramifications for days. I was just listening to his podcast the other day. Shout out Mike Dolce. I'm glad
I
you said that.
Dolce,
I'm going to go back
man.
On. Dolce's a good dude.
Dolce's the man, dude. Yeah. I love that guy. I miss him being around MMA more. But I know it's much more lucrative for him, I would imagine, just being in kind of the general health space. But that dude's the man. He was always very kind to you and I.
100%.
And just a good energy, man. So you can't be not motivated after hanging out with that guy for a while.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
100%. And it's funny because every once in a while I'll hop on. It was his live streams or whatever. I'm just like, hey, Mike. And he's like, hey, Gary.
That's
it just cracks me up. And every time I cheese ear to ear. I'm just
he's
like,
best,
this motherfucker.
Man. I love that
he's
guy.
He's hilarious.
All right, so let's co-main event. So you didn't help me too much in there because it sounds like you're as on the fence as I am in the main event, although you leaned Lopez. There was not a lot of conviction in your voice.
I did.
So I think you're
at the end of the day, the picks went in Lopez.
Is there any conviction in your pick at co-main event?
I went Pimblett.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you feeling it or you're just
kind of – I'm feeling
it. Yeah?
I'm kind of feeling it. I just think – I mean, if Mike can make this a wrestling match, I think he's got a chance.
Right.
We've seen people try to take Patty and make it a wrestling match, and it doesn't usually work that well. I think Patty's got good hands. I think he's just – I don't know if he's got the power to just straight knock out Mike, but I think he has enough to make it gritty and break Mike down to where he can have his way.
Yep.
I think probably he'll eventually get Mike's back, and I think he's going to get a rear naked choke, just to be very, very specific on how he finishes him.
Man, I tell you what, I am such a Michael Chandler fan.
Oh, yeah.
Love the dude as a fighter, love the dude as a person. And I like Patty a lot, too, you know what I mean? So, like, I like this matchup, but I hate this matchup, too. You know, I really like Patty as a fighter. He's fun, the energy. He brings something to the table in terms of, like, star power and excitement. And he's got great skills as well. I think people tried to discount his skills for a long time and write off how good he was, you know, call him a hype machine, a product, or whatever. He's not.
We all did. I think when he came in, there was so much fanfare. A lot of us are like, he can't possibly live up to how he sells himself. And he really does.
Absolutely
so
has.
So I stopped doubting that portion of it.
I think I'm homer picking Mike Chandler.
There's nothing wrong with that.
It's a homer pick, I think. But especially early, right? He's got to be dangerous early because, you know, he tends to make some mistakes. And, boy, I forget, too. This is five rounds, too. Oh,
yep.
Yeah. Got to be dangerous early. Oh. Bryce Mitchell, John Silva, which lord did you go with?
I went with the pervert lord, John Silva. And he's not a pervert lord, just Bryce thinks everybody else is perverts. Oscar said that. Oscar said something like that we are all perverts. He said we're something else or whatever.
So I watched that media day yesterday too, and Bryce obviously was questioned a little bit, not a lot, on the whole. I mean, let's be honest. He makes some weird statements, but the going fishing with Adolf Hitler, that was the one that really –
Hey, brother, that's how he views history. Don't take away his right to view his history as he sees.
I like Bryce Mitchell, but I wish he would just, I don't know, I wish he'd just no comment it, man, or I've moved past that or something, you know what I mean? I guess he's entitled to his opinions, you know?
I mean, that's it. I mean, he wants to be his opinions, and he did say, he's like, if you think I'm an idiot, call me an idiot. That's fine, but I'm still entitled to his beliefs, and he is absolutely 100%
right about that. He's
100%
right about that.
There is beliefs. He can believe whatever the hell he wants. You know, and if he wants to raise his kid at home and teach him whatever sort of beliefs, that's his right as well. You know, as much as others might question and say, you know, bro, you should talk to other people outside your group, you know, get out of the circle. But that's his right to do it, you know, and I felt like he sort of before, when he initially made his apology after his thing, I felt it more like he was like, okay, I thought he was sort of saying like, you know, all right, what I said was wrong and this. But when you heard him in the media day yesterday, he felt like he was kind of back on
right.
That, you know, don't tell me what I was wrong. That's the way I view history. And if I'm going to say some stuff, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, by the way, did you see about this, you know, Russian Revolution and yada, all this other stuff. So again, it definitely didn't feel like, you know, he felt bad about anything that he had said. If anything else, he just felt more empowered to say, you know, I believe what I want to say. And when I'm going to talk about what I think about history, that's my right and that's my whatever. And that is true, that he has that right to think that. And if you think he's an idiot, you just call him an idiot, and that's fine, whatever, you know. But it's his right to believe what he wants to believe. It's just unfortunately he gets put in a platform, and people are going to question it. So I think he, if anything else, he just needs to be, like you said no comment, find a way to make answers. And I think he did better with that on Media Day, you know, instead of just going into specifics for him to say, when I talk about history, I talk about history and how I feel about history,
yep.
And leave it like that. So I think almost like if he was probably coached, didn't sound like it felt like in the past, he maybe would have just worded it differently or just said what he was saying. This way, he was just like kept it nice and short and clean. It's like, you know, when I think about things, that's my right. I'm going to think how I think.
Right.
You know, and that's it. Nobody's going to change the way I think. So, and that's his right. So, but yeah, I mean, I didn't. To me, it gets awful hard to kind of just keep paying attention, because once somebody starts talking and then every other sentence he starts throwing in scripture, it's hard for my brain to like just keep listening to everything, because there's just something that once you want to start trying to force something on me, my brain shuts off,
yep. You
know, so I was just waiting to hear more bits about what he thought on this and that, and then he would just jump into a quote. And I had a friend of mine that did that back home, and he legit had mental issues. I was like, brother, if you want to just start talking stuff to me and you say you want to actually like say, hey, let's sit down. I want to talk to you about some of these Bible passages and how I think it could affect your life and this. And he was just like, whereas as a reference, so he was like, you know, we were talking one day and he was like, blah, blah, blah. You know about Paul? You know, Paul was saying this. And I was thinking like, which friend of our Paul were we talking about? But he was like, and I'm just throwing Paul, yeah. I'm sure. But he was talking about one of the disciples and something. And I was like, bro, you're throwing it out like we know this person, like it just happened, this thing. I was like, you got to pull it back a little bit. Like it's so ingrained in some people's minds that, you know, it becomes part of their structure. So they feel like they live in that world. And I feel like that makes them more disconnected. So when you're talking about one thing and then jump into like a phrase from the Bible or something, I'm just like, you got to set it up, because I feel like you're just jumping out into your head somewhere, and I'm just like, I can't follow. So I felt myself like disconnecting through part of the thing, because I was watching him go through like a sermon in his head, and I was just like, you're not answering their question, you're just quoting something that
I know.
Somebody told you to quote in these moments or something. Like if you have a quote that makes you feel good in a certain situation or something that you use to give you guidance or comfort, that's fine. But just spouting it out instead of an answer maybe doesn't get the point across of what you are trying to say, that what this does for you. You're just kind of quoting a line that you memorized and I'm just like, it's not coming across. But I try to give them the space to say certain things. It just makes it hard when you're in a media day sitting, because you don't feel a lot of times you're getting the answers you want, because I feel like they're then just get on this thing like, well, I must spew these lines to show you how devout I am. I'm like, nobody doubts that you're devout and that you
right.
believe in all this stuff. It's just, I can't understand what you're saying, because you start a sentence and then you start jumping into another thing. Like if I was saying like, John, I really want to have pizza, but oh, hey man, my dog right there, he's feeling this about, but pepperoni, I think, on the pizza. And you see how the way the dog's scratching himself right there? And should we get extra cheese? Like you can't jump back and forth yeah. without it sounding like, what is wrong with you? Stick to the topic, bro.
No, man. I wish, because you're 100%. I think you said it 100% right. Is that like that is the beliefs in our country? Is that you should be allowed to believe whatever you want? You know what I mean? But it's like you don't necessarily have to share it all with everybody either. You know what I mean? I wish you would just like move on from it. Hey, I've moved on from that or whatever. But I don't know, because I like Bryce, and I think he's a nice person. I don't think he intends to be bad, you know what I mean? But it's just like, not fun to watch. So, but about the fight itself, Did you give him any credit, or is it
right? No, Bryce. I mean, I will always give Bryce a good chance. I mean, Bryce is just his jiu-jitsu is sick. I mean, mm-hmm. he's great, and I think he does have good hands. But man, Jean Silva, man, I give, and this is not anything to real Bryce. I mean, I give Jean Silva the nod against a lot of the cats that he's going to go up against. I think he's just his physicality, his speed. I think his head movement. I think his strikes. He just has. He's able to strike from just these unorthodox sort of positions where his body's just all over the place. He's got great sense of balance, so he's able to throw kicks and strikes from weird angles. I think he's just got. I think he's got a lot of power too for that size. So if his weight, if he comes in good and he's looking good on the weight, I feel pretty comfortable that Silva could get it done either via strikes hurting Mitchell and then, you know, submitting him in some fashion. I don't know if he's just going to straight knock him out, but, you know, because have we ever seen Mitchell get knocked out? Or by, was that Emmett that knocked him out?
Yeah, we've seen it.
Yeah, so, you know, but I don't know if Silva's got Emmett power, but he's powerful. Yeah, I'm leaning Silva, but man,
it's a good fight. I think it's a better fight than
it's
people.
It's just gonna be crazy because he's gonna go in there saying like, whose belief is gonna win? Like both of them are going in there as being devout followers, and one of them is gonna literally say, "See, my lord's better than yours," even though it's the same dude. But I guarantee, in some manner, like Bryce thinks he's fighting against like evil, you know, and like Jean just like, I don't have really like. Evil for the guy. He's just dumb. Like, he hasn't questioned his belief. He just thinks that he says idiotic shit, you know. But Bryce is taking it as like he's going against his beliefs. And it's just like, no, Bryce, he just, the globe had nothing to do with religion, brother.
Well, as the great John Kavanaugh once said, Jesus loves knockouts. So that would seem to favor John Silva, right? That's what I guess.
Jesus does love knockouts.
So I guess he goes.
Because the first thing you think when it happens is, Jesus Christ, did you see that? Yes, he did.
I think you lean Justin. I think it's a better fight than people are giving it credit for. I really do. Because I think people just want to hate on Bryce Mitchell right now. And I think it's actually a better fight.
But I mean, he's going to have some people voting for him too, or rooting for him too. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, there's a large population of this country that love everything about Bryce. When Bryce was coming out, when the very first times when he was coming out, when people were trying to censor him about something and he wouldn't back down on it, we saw like conservative outlets were like putting him under the news and like giving him a chance to talk. Like, so like, regardless of what he said, there are still a large population that love everything about him. His off the grid farming, you know, homeschool kid. Like, there, I'm not trying to say there's anything wrong with homeschool. No. If you have the right info going to your kid, that's good.
Right.
You just want to make sure that you're making him a well balanced kid.
Not
especially when they're armed.
Beliefs.
Yes, especially when your family likes firearms and stuff. Make sure your kid is well balanced. But yeah, no, I think it's going to be a good fight. And I would not be surprised if Jean Silva thinks he's all this and that and Bryce smacks him with something and gets his back. We just haven't seen it happen.
Yep.
But it doesn't mean it can't. Bryce is still, I mean, there was the time when Bryce came on the scene, we were like, this kid's going to take everybody over. I feel like we were even saying that he had a champ potential to possibly get up to the title.
We did.
You know, I mean, he's got the talent, and he's only lost twice. I mean, he's still ranked. I'm looking at the Tapology rankings. They're 11th. I'm not sure if those correlate with the UFC rankings, but, dude, he's legit, man. He might say some crazy shit, but at the end of the day, Bryce Mitchell is
fighter.
A phenomenal fighter.
Phenomenal fighter.
And it'd be silly for anybody to just say that, regardless if you disagree with what he says, that, you know, he's just not a good fighter. Like, Kid is a badass fighter. You cannot take that away. You know, you cannot take that away at all. Kid's, and he's funny as shit almost time. He says some weird shit at times, but he is funny. When he first came on the scene, oh my lord,
the
he
best.
Was, it's just so funny. They all break my heart eventually.
This is the saddest episode ever of the MMA Roadshow.
Why must they always break our hearts?
Why did Jeff Al go away? Why did women treat us so badly? Why did Alexi Ohly get knocked out? Why won't Russ Mitchell stop talking about Hitler? What is going on?
Let's go get that bottle of whiskey.
Oh, let's get the whiskey out. It's a Thursday afternoon. Let's break out the whiskey. It's time to go. We're drowning our sorrows. All right, listen, it is going to be a great fight card. As I said, an incredible pay-per-view in Miami. Definitely check it out. You got the PFL on Friday night as well. And, of course, for everybody over at patreon.com/TheMMARoadshow, we will get together on Monday to recap it all on the and a half episode. And then we'll probably get together a little earlier in the week for this episode next week because I got to fly out very early Thursday morning to head to CFFC 141. Looking forward to that, working with Dean Thomas. We'll talk about that. Great fact card. Oh, excuse me, by the way, Memorial Day weekend looks awesome. Three title fights for CFFC. We're going to have a grappling event as well. So if you can make it out to Atlantic City, definitely do that. We'll talk about that. Plenty of time to talk about that later. So, all right, let's go have some whiskey. Thanks for listening.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.